It's time for another edition of Mars Stars. This month, we are honored to welcome Jackie Grace from Alabama to the spotlight. You will be thoroughly inspired and awed by her story. So let's dive in. Welcome to the July 2026 edition of Mars Stars. Hope we can all just sit and relax, take a little break from the hot weather, and listen to the unique and fascinating story of our special guest. Tonight, we are honored to welcome Jackie Grace from Alabama to our spotlight. I don't know this lady well. Jackie, I've seen you in a few prayer events and Christian type events, but I've never really spoken to you personally. So I'm looking forward to this. And thank you so much for agreeing to be my guest tonight.
Greetings again to each and everyone. And thank you for inviting me. And we just want to sit back, as somebody said, and have a grand time and great conversation. As you said, my name is Jackie Grace, and I'm located in Alabama.
As I understand it, you were not born in this country. Is that correct?
No, I wasn't. I'm a naturalized citizen. I was born on an island in the Caribbean by the name of San Andres, which is part of the Colombian territory since 1783.
What was your native language?
Well, in San Andres, since San Andres is originally a British island, we speak English there, we speak Creole, and we also speak Spanish. So I had to learn Spanish after going to school because we normally speak English and Creole.
So you learned three languages as you were growing up?
Yes, I did learn three languages as we were as growing up.
Wow, that is pretty impressive. So tell me about your family.
Okay, I was born in San Andres. I'm the first of six children, the oldest, I would say. But sometimes you find another siblings which will take on leadership and they are considered the oldest. I'm the oldest of my parents. I have other siblings which are not my mother's children, which will make us 11 in total. So we are a large family. And as I said, I was born on San Andres and I came here through my marriage to my wonderful husband.
Were you born without vision or did that happen later in your life?
Oh, I was born with vision. And I would say vision is not in the eyes, it's in the mind. So even when we are blind, we still have vision. What we don't have is physical sight. And yet, even though we also have spiritual sight. So I was born with sight. Happened that from a medication given to me by a neurologist, I had what they call a syndrome of Steven Johnson, which is a reaction from a medication. And that's where I lost my sight from at the age of 18 going to 19.
Wow. Did it happen all at once?
No, it happened gradually after I had the syndrome of Steven Johnson right after that. Because this was a reaction of my system to the medication, which could be it was too strong and my system couldn't handle it. So it turned out to something like a second degree burn inward, outward, and it affected the organs that were more sensitive.
So as a child, what did you do for entertainment?
As a child, everything I could get to. I mean, I play all sports you could think of. One of my favorite was swimming and freestyle diving, scuba diving, riding horse. A little of everything. Driving boat, everything sea related. And, I didn't like to play with dolls that much. I prefer to go swimming or something like that. That was my favorite thing to do. And we grew up in an environment where you have to go to church whether you want or not.
Did you not want to go to church then, or did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it because it was something where you learn new things, and we learn in church as little children, get along with other children, and to just see each person and love them for who they are.
What denomination was that?
Okay, we started on the island with Baptists, and Baptists. Let me explain this. This was a missionary that came from America, and even the first Baptist church that was built on the island, it was taken from Alabama by steamboat, and it was built in 1844.
What was your schooling like?
I went to Baptist Christian school as well, from kindergarten until high school. So at the age of 18, when I first lost my sight, I already finished up high school and was getting ready to go to college to be a marine biologist, which that did not accomplish because of what took place with my sight.
I imagine you were disappointed. So when you realized you weren't going to be a marine biologist, what was your backup plan?
It was hard to talk about a backup plan when most of the time I was into different type of surgery, because after 2 years of being blind, we located a doctor that could do something for my sight. It was type of experimental, and I used to spend more time in surgery than having free time to do other things. I just spent too much time in surgery, I would say, because the surgery was something it wasn't something common when they took some flesh from my legs or tissue from my lips. And this was like constant going to surgery for different reason or for, bettering the process and all that stuff. I spent a lot of years going through that, like a guinea pig, I would say.
Was that successful?
For a little while, maybe back and forth, then I lose it for a year or so, then I get it back through surgery. But I don't think it was all that successful. It was more of experimental, I would say. Yeah, or some doctor want to, get credit for something that wasn't working for me. But sometimes we need to be reminded that when you are blind, you will go for just anything, whether it's experimental or not.
Yeah, especially if you've had your sight before. So when did you come to the conclusion that you were going to have to reconstruct your life under the circumstances of being blind?
In 1993, when I decided that I don't want to go through any of those painful surgeries and being away from my family, disconnected from the things I want to do, because after I decided that I don't want to have surgery, I could go back to certain things, maybe swimming, because having this type of surgery, I couldn't do like any activities in the ocean, or I was just limited to a lot of things.
Did you develop different hobbies than you had originally enjoyed at that point? Did you develop different interests and things to fill up your time?
Oh, yeah. Like reading, and I was still able to do a lot of things, you know, like I could do just anything that other person do while I was going through that type of surgeries, but I was limited to maybe doing outdoor stuff like before, or maybe lift heavy weight, because I'm I like to work out, I exercise, and jump rope and all that good stuff, and some of these things I still do them even when I'm blind. So, you know, there were a lot of things that I could do, you know, and be part of different activities in the church programs, and talk with people. I mean, I love to talk to people, and I love to grow, you know, to make garden. I could do all of that, you know, but there were certain things that I was limited to.
Were you still on the island at this point, or had you moved to America?
No, most of my treatment, I did it in mainland Colombia in a city by the name of Cali, Colombia, and back and forth to the island.
You made reference to the fact that you came to America when you met your husband. Is there anything that you want to tell us about prior to when you met your husband, or would that be the next chapter of your life?
Well, prior to that, during my school time, you know, I grew up in an environment where people are respected for who they are, and like on the island, everybody know everybody, so you just can't get away from doing wrong. But now is a change in San Andres because of overpopulation. You see, back then, life was different compared to now. So you had more freedom. You know everybody. You could just visit with your people, that freedom. I played a lot of basketball, you know, was on the basketball team during my teenager time. Well, I was still a teenager when I lost my sight, you know, the youth group from the church, you know, being a Sunbeam teacher. I mean, I was very busy, but the environment which we grew up in, our parents were very strict. We just couldn't go out and just, you know, do everything we wanted. You see, we grew up in a very strict home, you know, where parents respected, children respected, and everybody have their space with respect to each other, and the warmth of the family. And, you know, the center is Jesus. It makes a difference in a home.
So you've basically been a strong Christian all your life.
Not all my life, I would say, because when I first got baptized, I was 11 years of age. And at that time, in my time, we didn't have all that knowledge about Jesus at that time. You see, but there is a time in life when you pick up a growth after having understanding and seeking God's wisdom. You see, so it makes a difference. The moment you got baptized, from the moment when you know and have the understanding of what Jesus means, you, when you submit and surrender control, that he will take that lordship over my life, you see. Yep. After we surrender control and allow God to take lordship, it makes a difference, you see, because he become not only my savior, but also my Lord.
Yes. I was about 10 when that happened to me. So Tell me about how you met your husband and how you ended up here in America.
I met Xavier Grace in 1983. He was on a training mission, a West Africa training mission. He was in the Marine Corps, and San Andres was part of that journey. And one evening we were sitting out and he passed by taking picture, like sightseeing. He asked if he could take a picture of me and my cousin. And there where we met the first time, 1983, 43 years ago. And we became good friends. I took him home because in those days I could not stand up along the road or along the street talking to a stranger. So when I met him, I took him home, invited him something to drink, and he wanted to go to the First Baptist Church because he knew of how the wood that it was built with was brought from Alabama. So he wanted to go there sightseeing. I stopped a bus and pay his ride. And then he went to this place, came back later on. And from then we became friends for 13 years through letters. And I met him when I was 17. 2 years later, I lost my sight. So we start communicating by cassettes as good friends.
Wow. You didn't get married right away then. I assume he was still traveling and things.
Yep, he was still in the Marine Corps traveling, and I was still in San Andres at the time. As I said, we met when I was 17. I was still sighted. He was 21, and we kept a very close friendship for 13 years. So before we got married, we were very good friends, you see, and through the journey of losing my sight, he was very helpful and very encouraging to me. And I'm thankful for that.
So during that 13-year period, what did you do?
It was the time when I was going through my treatment. As I said, 2 years later, I started with the syndrome of Steven Johnson. So during those 2 years that I was still sighted, I went to Barranquilla to get ready to go to college, and we were writing each other and all that stuff. So this happened in Barranquilla, Colombia. After that, we had a disconnection because of my sight issue. So during those years, I was still going through sight treatment. One day I told him, well, we are good friends. And he said, you know, we can become more than good friends, you see. So we start having a closer relationship as friends. You see, the friendship never stopped even today. Yep. So one day we decided that we could get married. After 13 years, he came back to the island. I was totally blind. He said he would go to church and ask my pastor if he could marry me. And what I did, I took him to the beach, not to do that because I wasn't ready for that, you see. And I kept the rings and everything. He returned home. And later on, I said, okay, I decided I will get married. Yep. And he came back to the island and said he wasn't leaving until we get married. Before he went back to San Andres, he made the vow that he will shave his head and he will not grow hair until he married me.
Okay, that's interesting. When you did get married, did you stay on the island for a while or did you move to Alabama instantly then?
Okay, I got married in 1997 and I stayed 2 years before I came over here because I just wanted to get adjusted to the idea of getting married because at the beginning I didn't want to because I was kind of maybe selfish, you know, and want to do my own thing in the sense that I felt like getting married wasn't going to work, you know, and I find some excuses telling him that, oh, I'm blind, I'm this, I'm that, you know. And he said, well, one arms, no sight, no legs, whatever it is, I want to marry you. And that's what we did. We got married 2 years later. I came to America. It wasn't that easy for me because we have a freedom on the island where you just know everybody. You greet everybody. You visit with people. You hug people. It was totally different. And I just could not get adjusted to it. So I went back to San Andres for a while.
You were homesick.
Yes, I was, because even the food is different, you know. We used to just get out free and do a lot of gardening, which I still do here, and a lot of farming. You know, we farm big time on the island because we have to grow some of our food. And I still do gardening here. I do different spices and herbs, which is one of my favorite things to do.
What type of food do you eat on the island?
We eat, everything. Normally, but, you know, you have the privilege to eat as much seafood as you wish. You see, but we have everything there, just like everywhere else, you know. But one of the, like, the typical food is all seafood related there on the island. So you can get variety of fish and different fruit from the sea.
Do you have a family?
Yep, I have two children, a son and a daughter, and I have a grandbaby.
Oh, that's neat. So when you came to America, did you pretty much just raise your family, or did you have a career?
When I came to America, I guess I got pregnant and I had to take care of the babies and just didn't have much of the time to go into a career.
So how did you get involved with computers?
I met a group of people here in the rehab, and I was offered to do computer training through Barry Kerver. He was my trainer, so I did training with him on the computer.
When did you get involved with these chat sites?
Through Barry Kerver, you know, from computer practicing. You know, he thought it could be good to come on some site. We started with 40 people, you know. I met a lot of people that some of them are here today, and some may not be, but that's how I met a lot of people, through 40 people. And then audio tips, out of sight, and here on VIP.
Now that you have been blind for several years, I know you said that you are interested in gardening and you love gardening and you're interested in reading. Are there any other interests or hobbies that you like to do?
Well, I do a lot of reading and lot of outdoors activities, and I love cooking and just take care of house business. Yep, I'm a house person. Like to take care of my own things myself. And I'm not limit to what people tell me I can do. I just reach out to do just everything, you know? Yep.
So when you and your husband settled in Alabama, did he continue his work as a missionary, or did he change to some other type of work?
Oh, I want to clarify that he's not a missionary. He was in a training mission with the Marine Corps, a West Africa training mission, not a missionary.
Okay, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Did he continue that work after you settled in Alabama?
No, he was into other type of job, because when I first met him, and he knew I would be going to school for marine biologists, he went and studied for commercial diving, which my dream did not accomplish, and he did not work in commercial diving either, so he did other job.
Are you both retired now?
Well, Xavi is retired because of an accident he had. I never work here, so I can't retire. And what I do the most, I can't retire for serving the Lord. You see, that's a forever thing until we leave this earth. And I'm just rejoicing doing Bible study, and I'm encourager, and get out and help people. Those are the things you just can't retire from.
Yeah. Well, that is just really neat. And it sounds to me like you really found your peace with the direction that God has had you go. And you seem very grateful and thankful for his guidance. I know your Christian walk has been a very important part of your life. So are there any other comments that you would like to add before we open the floor to those who are here to ask questions?
I just want to share that if I did not know the Lord before I lost my sight, I couldn't have made it this far. And I'm very thankful. And if there is a person here that don't know the Lord, God is good, and he wants to enter into your heart, transform your life so that you can have a better life after this life. You see, because the best thing could ever happen to a person is to have Jesus in our lives. When we have Jesus, as the passage says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. So when we make Jesus our priority, it makes us better person. When we love Jesus, we love people. And I believe in loving people, not for who they are, but loving them because the Lord said we must love one another. That sincere love, that love with agape love, you see, unconditional love, you see. And I believe in prayer, and I believe prayer can change things. And if there is a time we need prayer, is today. This country need prayer. The people need prayer. Our children, our homes. Prayer makes a difference, and prayer is power, and we want to keep connected to the Lord and have a closer walk every day, every single day, every breath we take.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your insight, and I think that's really a great testimony to going through life and how God guides us. So now we are going to open the floor to questions. And remember that when you do ask a question, make sure that you give Jackie a chance to answer before another person asks a question. And so let's open the floor.
Hey, Jackie, it's Nan. She talked about encouragement, and you have been a great deal of an encourager to me. And I just want to thank you for that. I had heard that you dove off a high cliff, one of those real high cliffs. Is that true?
I thank you, Nan, and thank you for your faithfulness and for your friendship. I've been doing cliff diving since I was 5. When my son was 18 months, I took him to cliff diving, and I still do it. You know, I still do cliff diving, and I enjoyed it.
Oh my, you're braver than I am. I'll tell you, I don't think I would want to do that, but I admire you for doing it, and I'm glad you enjoy it. Other questions?
Hi, Jackie. This is Chris Ann, and I just so enjoyed your presentation here, and I just really feel your your spirit, your love for the Lord just radiates through. You said you like to read. Now, after you lost your sight, did you go through any kind of program and learn Braille and all that? Are you a Braille reader? And what kinds of things do you like to read?
I did Braille, but I don't practice it, so I don't read much Braille. I went to school in Cali, a school called INSEE, like a national school for the blind. There we were taught Braille, but I never did like Braille. But I believe every blind person should learn Braille. And I love reading. I read just almost everything, you see. But my interest is, you know, specific books that can leave me something that I can share with somebody else. Yeah, I like romantic, I like novel, I like history, I like just everything, as long as it is a good book and leave me something that I can use to edify somebody else.
Anything else?
Hey, Jackie, it's Mikey. Good to see you. We've known each other a long, long time, and I just want everybody to know what a inspiration you are. You're in our prayer group, and she's the real deal. She always says more prayer, more power, and she walks the walk. And we're all so proud of her and appreciate her ministry. Jackie, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your summer camp you go to. You seem to enjoy that so much.
Thank you, Mike. Good to see you. You've been a good friend to everybody, and you also had impacted our lives, you know, and your honesty and your sincere friendship, and above all things, your love for the Lord. And you've been a fighter. Yeah, I go to camp, different places, but I enjoy the one in Florida. We normally go to Camp Colaqua, Camp Aurora. We do this sometime in the summer, sometime in the fall. And there we have a lot of activities. And it's called Independent Camp for the Blind with Christian Record. You have to be a member of Christian Record to go to the camp. And Christian Record also have blind materials. They teach the Bible. It's an 7-day Adventist activities, but you don't have to be 7 days Adventist to go to this camp. We do horseback riding. We drive. They let us drive, you know, with somebody in the driving, in the passenger seat with us. We do bowling. We do cooking. We do swimming. We do a lot of stuff there, you see, and everybody there, the staff is just so awesome. And the most beautiful thing is that we start our day with a meditation and prayer, and we end our day with a meditation and prayer. And we just have an awesome time there at Camp Colaqua and Camp Aurora. And we also do the zip line, which is one of my favorite, and the leap of faith. You see, so thank you, Mike, for asking that.
So Christian Record is still going?
Oh, yes. Yep, the main office is in Nebraska, and it's still going. You just go to christianrecord.org, and you can register, and they have camp throughout the whole year, different places, depending on where you are located. You can choose a camp in your area, and is they only charge like for the registration, which could be like $35. But if you want to go to more than one camps, you'll have to pay the second ones. I know I have met people that go to 5 camps a year.
I went to a Christian Record camp when I was 17, I think, or 16, here in Wisconsin. And that was back in the 70s. So wow, I didn't know they were still going. Okay, any other questions? Jackie, it's been a real pleasure having you here and getting to know you better, because as I said at the beginning of the hour, I've seen you in the church service and in prayer events and things like that, but I've never actually gotten a chance to speak to you directly. So this has really been fun. I just admire your faith. I admire you're just totally wholeheartedly into serving God. And you're a great example for the rest of us who are Christians. And you're a wonderful role model. And I know God has blessed you and will bless you in the coming years. So again, thank you so much. And I hope that we will be able to encounter each other again soon and get to talk even more.
To God be the glory. I'm reminded of a verse that said, "My glory I will not share with another." So thank you so much. Thanks to everyone for being here, being supportive of VIP. And I tell you, this is the best site I ever been. I'm just so sorry that I don't have so much time to be on other of the, you know, many of the activities here, because I keep very busy. So thank you so much, and everyone have a blessed rest of the day.
Jackie, thank you very much for coming on. Very enjoyable. Of course, we always enjoy you. It's great to see you almost every day. So you take care. God bless.
And we will be back with Mars Stars in September. I'm not sure who I will interview at this point, but I have a list of possibilities. So keep your ears open for whoever that will be. And have a wonderful rest of your summer.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.